Welcome back to the Garden with Joe and Holly radio show. Moments away, does a warmer winter mean more bugs? But first, honey, be healthy.
Since 2000, Honey Bee Healthy Inc. has helped beekeepers maintain healthy and thriving hives. Attracting pollinators to your garden this year is as simple as hanging a hummingbird feeder with a mixture of sugar and water and Honey Bee Healthy Original. Don't be alarmed to see birds, bees, and butterflies dining together at the feeder. Pollinators can coexist peacefully. Honey Bee Healthy Inc. is offering a 10% discount on an 8-ounce bottle of Honey Bee Healthy Original to the show's listeners. Enter discount code BEEGARDEN at checkout. That's B-E-E Garden at checkout. For more information, mixing instructions, and more, go to honeybee, like the letter B, healthy.com.
If you are in a position where you're not able to obtain those coupon codes while you're listing, you can go to our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. And under the money tab at the top of the page, they're all listed for you. You just got to click on them. It'll take you right to their site. Just remember the coupon code and use that when you check out. Well, we've teased it several times here, Holly. Warmer winters. For whatever reason, you may believe winters are warmer than they have been when you were a child. Do warmer winters result in more bugs in the summer, or are we just thinking that because that's just what, you know, oh, more bugs. It must be a warmer winter. Things didn't die off.
There's some theories to that. One is that if it is a warmer winter or a warmer spring, or spring is a little bit sooner, these bugs are going to come out of their hibernation faster.
Sooner.
And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, bugs. So you might think there's more bugs, but it's not necessarily more bugs, but they're just like...
Their instincts a certain temperature reaches, yeah, they know when it's time to hatch or come out of their whatever, their overwinter home. And that's when you think, oh my, there are a lot here, but everybody's coming out at the same time.
Right. So maybe
feeding time at the zoo.
Maybe the bugs normally come out in June, but they come out in May. And by July, you're like, there's so many bugs, but it's just because you've had a month longer of the nonsense.
And because in a quote unquote traditional winter, the days slowly warm up. So some of them may come out gradually and progressively over the course of 2 or 3 weeks. But when it all of a sudden goes from super cold to summertime warm in 24, 48, 72 hours, everybody wakes up and everybody goes out to see what's going on type of mindset.
Another thing that would have an impact is where you live. Mm-hmm. So if you live in a more rural area, you might feel like you have more bugs, and that might be possibly true, because if there's urban sprawl occurring, and then
a lot of pavement,
there's habitat loss for bugs, then those bugs are going to flock to the more natural areas. So now, if you are in the rural area and the urban area keeps growing and growing closer to you,
pushing the bugs,
it pushes the bugs to you. So there's that too. Other factors are dependent on how much rain. So if we have a droughty winter with a warm winter, then we might possibly have less of certain bugs, because those bugs may not have enough moisture in the soil to have their hibernation. But if we have a super wet winter and a super wet spring, then those bugs might exist more.
Well, just like in the tomato patch, tomato hornworms in the fall lay their larva at a certain depth. And if you disrupt that depth in the air, like your tomato patch was horrible, got attacked by tomato hornworm, you rip the tomatoes out in the fall, and you either hand till or you mechanically till that area, that will disrupt the level in which that larvae sets over the winter, and 90% of the chance that that larva will be too warm or too cold and won't hatch again. Same kind of concept. And obviously these bugs are not, you know, inadvertently living or hibernating in the incorrect depth or in an area where it's going to be detrimental for them. And we're getting, and a lot of this information is a great article from the Iowa State University Extension Outreach, Horticultural and Home Pest News, where they have a great article that goes a lot in depth in this conversation.
Right. Correct. So soil moisture, habitat loss. So Again, we talked about this, a significant factor that could change or alter the bug population.
When you start cutting down the woods or the trees or the shrubs or the grass along the side of the road, where are these things going to go? They're going to go places where that's not being, that event is not occurring.
I remember you see this even just with wildlife during droughts, where the wildlife will, and if you're in a drought, wildlife will then go more aggressively eat people's gardens that are being watered. And it's kind of the same for bugs.
Well, we see this, and we had a perfect example of this at our home, where just next to it was about a 10-acre woods, kind of swampy area, and it was bought and converted into a business. And as soon as they cut those trees down, there were deer and squirrels and rabbits that all infiltrated into our yard. And I was within 5 feet of several deer, and I've got video of it, and they walked right by because they were so confused what happened. Their habitat was gone.
It was kind of sad, too. But yeah, that May, I remember that May, it was like 2 years ago, there was just deer all over the place. So, and there's deer kind of all around us, but that particular habitat, they had to find a new place to go. So same thing can happen with bugs. Also, bugs that lay their eggs on exposed elements like branches or basically branches, if it gets warmer out, those eggs may hatch sooner.
Too soon, and then it freezes again. Or it doesn't freeze because, if they lay it and then it gets a really, really warm spell like we see with daffodils. It gets really warm and they come up and then it freezes for like 3 weeks and they all die or that type of thing. And for whatever reason, that's what's occurring.
Right. So, so you have to keep these things in mind that it's not black and white. It's more or less that these things could occur. And the biggest
ebbs and flows.
Yeah. The biggest thing to keep in mind is that you want to provide habitats for the good bugs like pollinators and then certain
beetles.
How
do we do that?
Well, definitely for pollinators, you can do like little bee baths. You can put up all sorts of like feeders. You can
honey bee healthy.
You can honey bee healthy.
You can also plant flowers that progressively flower and over the course of the summer. It's not a one and done. There's multiple flowers on your property because tulips are pretty for 3 minutes and 17 seconds and they all wilt and that's the end of it for the year.
No, but there's certain bee, like you can buy certain bee mixes from Jung Seed, but then you can also just grow flowers that are like kind of like the daisy type flowers where
native plants, native flowers. Also, when the winter comes, I know we're coming out of winter, but don't rip your garden bare down to soil. Leave the stuff alone and allow the insects, good and bad, they cohabitate, to live in the stalks or live under the leaves or the debris that's in your garden. When you rip all of that out, they have nowhere to go.
Absolutely. And even now, when there's... don't do it yet. But if you could do this gradually too, when it does get warmer out, you don't have to rip everything up at once. You can do it gradually, or just keep in mind in the fall to make sure you leave some leaves around, if you can, for the bugs. It's usually the good bugs. It's also like for the fungus and things like that.
The health and for healthy soil, not leaving your soil bare. For all the insects under the soil, you want to cover it with some type of material, leaves, if you have straw, shredded grass clippings, leaves. Because if you really look at nature, there's nothing in nature, minus the deserts, if there is bare soil, nature covers it with grasses or weeds or shrubbery or something. It doesn't like bare soil. And we see this as gardeners in areas where we didn't have that soil covered. We go out there in the spring, it looks very weathered, erosion, it doesn't look like happy, healthy soil. Now, again, you can't look at a pile of soil and go, well, that pH is 7.3 and all this other. You have to get a soil test, and soilsavvy.com provides that. But you can visually see if soil looks better or worse when you have it covered. with leaves like we do in our raised beds, when we lift that up, we see the fungus, we see worms, we see bugs, we see creepy crawly things, we see a whole world of insects that have been hibernating or living under that leaves in the soil over winter that would not have been there, that all benefit your garden over the summer, over the winter, all year round.
Yes. Sorry, I was going to sneeze for a second. Yeah. So with that being said,
soon it will be warming up, and we'll want to make sure that you can enjoy your yard without sharing it with those beetles and grubs. Now, those are bad bugs.
Yes. With spring just around the corner, it's time to start thinking about controlling beetles and grubs in your garden or yard. There's all sorts of, you know, they talk about Japanese beetles all the time. I'm sure your neighbor is going to mention to you at some point soon.
When I was a kid, we didn't have them, and now we got them. Grub gun can be applied to the turf or garden around ornamentals to control those grubs and lessen the impact those beetles have on your yard this summer. Easy to apply. Use a commercial spreader or irrigate it right into the soil. Biologically, specifically targeted for grubs and beetles and invaders without harming beneficial insects such as bees, ladybugs, and butterflies.
And to be honest, it's the only non-chemical that works. You can find out more at phylumbioproducts.com. That's phylombioproducts.com.